Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I may not be the smartest tool in the shed, but I'm pointy. It doesn't make sense.
I like to keep my martinis dry and my company stirred.
Okay, see, now that's a tagline. I am getting walloped in
Well, all lines. I had to do was think of one ever. This is like, you're like a thousand.
We were just chatting about that. I truly just texted a friend, shout out Michael, to be like, I need a tagline. And he did not respond in time, by the way.
That's
so
awesome.
How dare...
I think all your friends at this point should know to just be on, like, they should just, like, be, like, constantly thinking of taglines and sending them to you.
That should be their number one priority. Quit your jobs. Quit your lives.
Have no hobbies. That should be all your friends' hobbies.
Move into a Bravoholic nunnery. And just always have it. Because the other thing is,
at that point, you've kind of created, like, a factory farm of taglines.
My dream.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, like, the Elon Musk of podcasts.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Also, maybe that's more of like an Amazon fact. Maybe I'm more of a Bezos
It's nothing
bitch.
Good what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. It's terrible for the world and society and culture. Yeah. But it would really help me short term.
Yeah.
And that's a sacrifice other people
Absolutely.
Should make. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 6. Leave me alone. And I'm so excited to have a new guest in the Clawfest who I have been, if I can make one recommend, well, no, if I can make two recommendations today, one would be donate to support any organization helping in Los Angeles. There's a link in the show notes to this episode, as there was in the episode prior, to Mutual Funds LA. I'm also doing a fundraiser with a bunch of creators for the Los Angeles Fire Department Foundation on my IG. That's number one. Number two is follow this gentleman on Instagram. Equally important, obviously.
God,
equally important. Follow him on Instagram because he is so effing funny. He's a comedian who is currently on tour with Hey Big Guy, the name of his tour, with upcoming dates in Atlanta, New York City at Joe's Pub, which is a huge fucking deal, in New Orleans. He's also performing at Club Coming here in New York City on January 16. Proceeds benefiting Mutual Funds LA, correct?
Yes.
Correct. An icon, a charitable legend, Sonia Morgan wishes. So welcome to the Clawfest, Jake Cornell. Jake, how are
I'm
we?
I'm fabulous after that intro. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. So listen, I mean, there's a lot going on. We were just talking about your dates, which is super exciting. Joe's Pub is just one of those spaces.
My favorite place to perform in the world.
It's literally incredible.
It's incredible.
Part of the public theater here in downtown New York. But Club Coming is... so special.
It's a really special place.
So unique. Alan Cumming. Do you want to know the backstory? It's
a little, tiny kind of cabaret. It's like not quite a black box, not quite a cabaret bar performance club. In the East Village, used to be an old gay bar where a lot of gay sex used to happen.
And
now it is a fabulous performance venue owned by Alan Cumming. I have a monthly show there. So I do. It's usually the third Thursday of every month, unless I mess that up or something. My show there is called Gorge Night. It's just me. And then I bring like New York's best comedians. We have like a really fun night. It's always like a party. When everything went down in LA, I decided this month's show, all the proceeds are going to go directly to Mutual Funds in LA. To help
Incredible.
Everyone dealing with the fires and
Incredible.
Affected by the fires. So it's going to be super fun. So grab tickets if you want to come and support.
And where can you get tickets? Is it at Club Coming?
GorgeNight.eventbrite.com.
Ooh.
And I'll be posting about it a bunch. So if you follow me on Instagram, my handle is Jake W. Cornell. It'll be there everywhere.
Okay. And I'm going
to
link
in
show notes for
I'll
this episode for that show. I've done a couple AG Lives at Club Coming,
it's
one of which was... I don't think it was scheduled purposefully, but maybe it was because I'm an asshole. Like the night before my birthday. So then we did the live show and then at midnight.
God bless.
It ended up being kind of incredible. I got so fucked up yep. after the show.
Yeah.
It was like immediate friends bringing me Prosecco. And there was a guy I had been kind of like whatevering.
Absolutely.
Who was supposed to come to the show because he invited himself. He really wanted to support me, whatever, who ghosted me.
Fuck off.
Because it was a control thing or whatever. Whatever they do. Mm-hmm, like fuck boys. Mm-hmm. An hour before I was supposed to go there. So I was already hot.
Yep.
I mean, physically, but spiritually as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
So I performed in the show and then I just got so drunk and was like dancing with like the go-go dancers. And it was just one of those
magic nights.
Magic.
Yeah.
Night. Club it Coming is so
sauce.
Special.
It has like the, it has whatever that little sprinkle of magic is that makes it a special place. I love yeah. it so much. Yeah. It's always a great time. It's yeah. always a great time.
It's one of those weird experiences to be a New Yorker because there's such an LOL of us. Of us just historically shit talking LA comprised of a lot of former New Yorkers who want, you know, a better quality of life, shit talking New York.
Yeah.
And to be on obviously opposite coasts, but just watching what is happening right now, I feel like I'm in just a place of complete disbelief. But it's like coursing through my veins every hour of the day. Just it's right. just it's unbelievable.
I mean, the shitting on each other's cities is all in good fun. But when shit hits yes. the fan, it's like, okay, let's get together and take care
100%,
of
this. 100%.
100%.
And I'm one of, you know, I just had, we were just talking before, I just had John Hill over and we were talking before the wildfire started about like different perspectives living in New York mm-hmm. versus LA.
Yeah.
And I've had so many incredible, some of my favorite people live there, so many incredible experiences going there. It is such a specific, unique culture, environment, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Everything about it is genuinely really special. And for me as an East Coaster, it's like a magical place to go to when you're used to fucking New England yeah, weather. It's like, totally. It's unbelievable. But the flip side of it is, it's just the feeling of helplessness that I think yeah. a lot of us feel because it's just the devastation that is happening is incalculable. Like yeah. it's just, there's no way
yeah.
to understand the scale except for what we have seen on social through friends, obviously the news. It's just truly, it's unbelievably devastating. It is a tragedy on such a scale
yeah.
that I just think us in New York, we've been through some shit, but this is just something that we have never experience, and it's just
no,
it's
truly a different
unbelievable
thing. Yeah, I mean, it's really sad, it's really awful, and I think it's just like you have to think of the small things you can do, like, and try to help and just like make, you know, do something, you know, and everyone,
yeah,
yeah, but it is truly awful.
Yeah, and just checking in on friends, I think, is 100%. In addition to if you are able to financially support, you know, organizations of people's choosing, but also just making sure that people who are going through something, we just as outsiders mm-hmm. or just speaking for myself as an outsider, have not experienced yeah. what they are going through, but just continuing to just kind of advocate as much we can okay. for just friends, families, loved ones, sending energy to strangers yep. and just saying that we're thinking of you. And it's just it's horrifying. It's honestly, It's kind of unbelievable. It's yeah. kind of unbelievable. But then you have a show like this.
I know.
Little yeah. Housewife Psychology. And it's just hopefully an opportunity, as these episodes are and as they'll hopefully continue to exist, to just be a chance to, you know, scream at each other about Lisa Vanderpump.
I mean, it was nice. I will say I had fallen a bit behind on the season, and having the past day to catch up on watching 10 episodes.
You watched 10 episodes of Salt Lake City today?
Like, no, not today. Like, okay. I would say from in the past like 36 hours, I think I've watched like 10 episodes, which I honestly, and I'm not complaining, it was kind of like exactly what I needed. Like, you know what I mean? Just like, and I was doing like work while watching it. Like, I was kind of like double screening, but it was like a welcome distraction, which I think is one of the best things that these shows can sometimes offer us, you know?
Well, you're so fortunate that the show that you are watching happens yeah. to be such a fucking incredible one. So before getting into Salt Lake City, yeah. can you tell me a little bit about your journey as a Bravo viewer, possible 100%. Bravo-holic? Like, 100%. Mention it all.
So I couldn't call myself a full Bravo-holic, but I definitely am a heavy Bravo user throughout the years, and it's ebbed and flowed. So like, I was in high school when OC like OGOC dropped. Mm. And I remember like watching the premiere. Like I remember like, I think I was watching whatever movie was airing on Bravo before it. And it just like came on and it was like, and now the premiere of like Real Housewives of Orange County. And I was like, what the fuck is this? But I saw like the six women holding the oranges and I was like, yeah, I'm down. And I like, and I watched it and I was like, this is incredible. And so me and my mom like pretty quickly just like laid into Housewives and like so like original OC, original New York, original Jersey, even like the first season of that first version of DC they tried to do with the woman who crashed the Obama dinner.
Mikhail and Tarek.
Yeah, that. And then what was the other franchise? That's basically I was very religious about all of those. Specifically early New York, early Jersey, and early oh, and early Atlanta too, like OG, like with Kim and Nene and Sheree and all them. So like those four, the early seasons, obsessed. And then when I went to college, it was 20. That so then like fast forward to college a few years later, that was before there was any sort of like Peacock or like, and it was like if you don't have DVR, you can't watch it. And like there was not DVR in the dorms of the University of Vermont, so mm-hmm. I kind of fell behind like really intensely, mm-hmm. and. By the time there was like a way to watch it all online, like functionally, I was like six seasons behind and there were like two new franchises. Like because like the seasons happened so quickly. And then there was also like Beverly Hills had started. And what was the other one that had started? I can't remember. I feel like another one had started. And I was kind of like, fuck, like I'm so lost. Like, mm-hmm. and I'm a little bit of a completist. I've gotten better about it as I've gotten older, but I think the fact that there was like so much at that point shared history that I had jumped into, and I had such reverence for knowing like, oh no, this is a big deal because this happened two seasons ago, or like this, like knowing that context, that I was like, I can't just dive back in. So I was kind of outside of the Housewives world for a while. And then as it's become easier to watch, and especially being a gay guy on Twitter, you kind of just start to slowly by osmosis relearn everything that I really picked up, like, and I kind of went back and watched some of New York, and now I kind of know the arc of like, you know, Sonia and like all of them, like the people who came a little bit later. And you know, I'm still like voraciously consuming Bethany. She has kind of gone off the deep end recently with the Dior bags. Like I can't really do that, but like
the Dior bags,
I can't even with it. But like,
oy.
In general, I've like slowly kind of come back in, and I, you know, I've had a few podcasts myself in the day. So I've had Dorinda on my old podcast. I've interviewed Luann, Dorinda, and Lisa in real life.
Which Lisa?
Barlow.
Oh, the Lisa.
The Lisa. And the Lisa. John. I interviewed them together. It was Lisa and John.
Incredible.
So like I've been dabbling in the Housewives for a while. And then, so then I got back in on Salt Lake a couple seasons ago and really am into Salt Lake. And then when they rebooted Roni, I was like, now's my time to shine. Like, tabula rasa, clean slate, I can get back in. Like, and I was so excited. So I loved season one of the new cast, which I know is a not popular opinion. And a lot of people were not happy with the new cast. And I was in the foxholes defending the new cast. And then they spat in my face with this second season. I really think they spat in my face. I've really struggled with this new season, which we can talk about. But so I kind of stopped watching the new season. After the Rebecca Minkoff prank episode where the whole episode was a lie, I was like, fuck this. Haven't watched since, but am now, especially this season of Salt Lake is incredible. I think this season of Salt Lake is absolutely phenomenal. I'm loving it, and I'm wrapped, and I'm so excited for next week, and I'm so excited for the reunions.
The reunions are going to be incredible. The finale looks incredible. It brings me joy.
Yeah,
it's just one of those shows that you don't need to worry about. I don't need to worry about what these people are doing in real time. I don't need to worry about feeling weird or ashamed or mad or bad that like this show is identifying as a housewife show in the universe. With New York, when I'm watching it, I'm like, you're harming me. This is a personal this is a personal insult. How dare you?
I know.
Pretend. This is the thing that like really, really pisses me off. Like, how dare select people an Andrew Cohen moment now and again where it's like, the show's really great. I'm like, someone on behalf of the network absolutely doesn't need to do what I'm about to say because it would make no sense strategically or from mm-hmm. a corporate perspective. Be like, okay, we understand this season was a flop. We're so sorry. We'll do better.
Yeah.
I just want to feel a little bit seen or heard.
Yeah, like don't piss on my shoe and tell me it's raining. You know what I mean? It's yes. Like, and that's kind of how it can feel at times. I mean, I'm sure internally they're like, that can't happen again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that I don't know what's going on with this cat, that the New York cast. I really don't. And didn't have people announce that they're leaving? Like, what's the current status of the New York cast?
No, I think they're here forever because obviously something has gone wrong and we are being punished. I don't even think, like, this has been the conversation on AG of, like, what can you even do to fix this? I'm watching the newest episode where there's so many jokes about Jenna Lyons, like, pubes, where I'm just like, none of you are funny. Like, this is actually, not to go on a tangent, but I watched, this is not a spoiler at all, but I watched the first three episodes of Traitors.
Oh, I watched all of them.
Oh, did you?
If you want to talk Traitors, we can talk Traitors. I'm obsessed with Traitors. It's like my favorite thing. I watched all three immediately.
Oh, we need to, maybe I'll move stuff around. We might need to do a taking it personally about Traitors.
I mean, I'll talk about Traitors until the cows come home.
Okay, well, I just want to sidebar for 1 second, and absolutely, then hopefully we'll be able to do that. And if not today, we'll do it
very
soon.
Back. Yeah,
would love. The problem that I have right now with Traitors, the first three episodes, and again, this could be me. This could be, like, I can't even blame it on PMS.
Well, there's too many men.
There's always too many men.
It's like too much male energy right now. But sorry,
you can
not
say that about
off.
Anything in the universe.
Me cutting off a woman to say there's too much male energy is actually so crazy.
Well,
but
are all fucking pussies, and that annoyed the shit out of me in each thing where they're like, we're not going to volunteer.
Oh, that's getting bad.
That's actually, like, a genuine serious problem. That's number one. But number two is nobody's funny. Like, there are people, and this, again, no spoilers, I'm just saying that out loud. Like, we can get into spoilers on taking it personally, but, like, the issue that I have with the first three episodes is, like, I'm not laughing. It just feels like sort of like it's a drama. And that's kind of my issue with New York, except they think that they're funny. Okay. And I find that insulting.
I find the new season of Traitors significantly funnier than New York. I was laughing in the first three episodes at certain things.
Okay.
Maybe not as hard as last season yet, but I was definitely laughing at some things. The new episodes, like, I am enjoying just, like, also, just, like, there's something so in Traitors, when Tony tried to say, this is, like, I guess this is barely a spoiler.
Okay. Light spoiler.
Tony, instead of saying that he was indebted to someone, said, and I'm just really embedded to him. It's like, that's not the word. Like, right. Just like little things like that, like, really tickle me.
Yeah.
It's just like, I am really enjoying it, but I hear what you're saying. Like, it needs a little bit. But I just love the camp of Traitors. Like, I just love how they all perform it. It we are missing that Caitlin girl with the tattoos.
Oh, she's a lot.
There's a lot happening with her. I really don't know. God bless her, but, like, I need a little bit of that Phaedra, where I was like, last season, like, me and my friends were like, I think Phaedra really thinks she's killing people. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, she's acting like these are real murders. And I, like, loved it. Like,
I'd be okay with it. Honestly, Phaedra, whatever you want to do.
Like, she was killing me. And, like, we need a little bit more of that special sauce. Like, but it's not quite as funny, but I think we'll get there. It's, like, blossoming nicely.
Okay, I might just be coming from a place of no, to borrow from Bethany Frankel, how she actually is.
The world is hell right now, so you might be coming from a place of no, but yes. I will come to Traitors with a place of yes a lot. And I think that was my whole argument with the season. My whole argument with season one of New York was exactly what you said, where I was like, everyone is coming at this from a place of no. Everyone is coming at this from a place of no.
Meaning the audience or the cast?
The audience. I think people walked into, like, the new cast of Roni
to
being
say,
like, fuck
you.
This.
Yes.
I think that they were, and so I was defending where I was like, you need to let this sit. Like, you need to, and I mean, I turned out to be totally wrong, but, like, I thought there was interesting stuff happening in the first season because I just innately think it's interesting to see, like, people figure out how to navigate reality television in real time. I think that's, like, interesting to watch, like, them being having everyone outside of Jenna having never been on a reality show before, like, watching them kind of, like, navigate that and make, like, mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell, like, for all of season one, it was so funny to me to watch how you could really tell that Sai thought she was coming across as funny and as likable. And I was like, you don't see that this is, like, the most irritating shit and you look awful. And, like, it was funny to see, like, things like that happen. And then season two, I think, like, everyone just tightened up because, like, Jessel came out looking great, but, like, kind of by the way of being, like, so bizarre it worked. But everyone else was like, I don't want to have what happened to Sai happen to me. They're like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, everyone got really tight in a way that I think was interesting. So I don't know.
The problem right now, the newest episode is the cast is like, well, at least the first part of the episode, the cast is like, Jessel enjoys being a star too much. And now she's like traveling with Glam and like doing that before her kids' birthday parties. And, you know,
watch the other franchises. They're doing Glam before they take a shit.
Well, the problem is that the issue is I think that the rest of the cast also does the same thing that Jessel is doing, or at least their their issue is that Jessel is pretending, like evidently she's Madonna, you know, in her real life, that she's doing too much, she's changed too much. But with the rest of the cast, how they're responding on camera, I'm like, you guys are all, you're just doing a different version of it. But at least with Jessel's, I don't feel like it directly negatively impacts the culture of the show. With everybody else, I'm like, you guys all think you're stars and you're not behaving in a way that's telling me you have any talent.
You also have to get, like, the thing about Housewives is it's a give and take where you're going to look bad and then you're going to look good. Mm. And if you're never going to let yourself be the bad guy of an episode, if you're never going to get messy, you're never going to like have a redemption arc, and the show's just going to flatline. It needs to have ups and downs. And I think they're so afraid of the downs that they're not getting the ups either. And so everyone's just kind of like petering in the middle. I think Brynn was the only one doing it for a minute, but then that made Brynn look fucking crazy because everyone else was so middle of the road. And Brynn was like, kind of, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was kind of how I was feeling, at least. I just also think my other thing is, if you're gonna cast a like very prominent Scientologist and then have it be a complete non-starter, it kind of muzzles the whole show. And that was really what I felt. I was like, so you cast a Scientologist, you have everyone sit, like, I'm sorry, like Jenna Lyons I don't want the Church of Scientology to come for me, so maybe I should be quiet. But like,
oh, I've said so much about like Becky Minkoff and the aliens.
All,
yeah,
they're them all in the confessionals being like, you know, it's a religion, and every religion has an extreme. I'm like, fuck off! Like, don't talk to us like we're stupid. Like, it does feel kind of to your point. It's like, pardon me,
please.
I'm chugging a Diet Coke, Lisa Barlow style, and so I'm burping now. But it's like, don't talk to me like I haven't seen the documentary. Like, don't talk to me like that. Like, if you're going to cast a Scientologist, no, it's like, you know, the Bravo girlies are watching it. And you know that when the Bravo girlies, most of the Bravo girlies aren't watching Housewives, they're listening to a true crime documentary and they're watching documentaries about fucking Scientology. So don't cast a Scientologist and then have it be a complete non-starter and be like, it's actually like a pretty good, like, that's insane. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
Maybe you thought she was going to talk about it, but like, that's your job as casting, to kind of be like, are we going to do this? Because otherwise you can't come on the show.
Well, it feels like they've signed a blood oath, but what are you getting in exchange? It's not like Rebecca Minkoff is delivering artistic excellence, where even the argument that you're making, I would say, is still completely accurate. But it's not even like she's giving us something. So production's like,
that fiery of a character.
No, she's completely
It's not like she's like NeNe Leakes or someone that's bringing, or Phaedra, who's bringing like huge like emotion, right, or drama, or even a Bethany. Like,
right,
she's not a character. Do you know what I mean?
I almost said something terrible. I'm going to say it. It doesn't make sense, and I revoke it immediately. But it's like, even Jen Shah, who's the literal devil, is a character. I'm not saying, I don't want to see her anywhere near Bravo HQ ever again. But like, that is someone who is a menace to society, where even before we knew she was like, she be criming, even before we knew that was happening, the arc around her on the show, but again, very different personality, was like the cast members being like, she's the devil, but you know, XYZ, we're going to talk about it. And they were all scared of her. With Becky, it's like, I guess they're scared of the Scientology militia, which I completely understand. But what the production is doing is so harmful that it's like, what was the purpose of bringing this person on?
And I really don't know the answer to that question.
Her bags were a thing 20 years ago, 15 years ago.
Right.
What is she giving us now? If it was giving some sort of Norma Desmond, like she used to be a thing and then she's no longer, I'm curious about that, but that's not what we're getting.
No, it's really strange. So it's, yeah, I don't know. It's really strange.
And also, speaking of Scientology, shout out Mike Rinder, who died this week of cancer, who was the I don't even know what you would call it, co-host, like, who, it was his show with Leah Remini, Scientology in the Aftermath.
Yeah.
Mike Rinder used to be a huge prominent leadership role, had a huge prominent leadership role with Scientology, left, was disconnected from his family, lost his children forever.
I mean, they lose everything.
Has been stalked and harassed, allegedly, by Scientology the entirety of his life. If you watch any single episode of Scientology, the thing that I was talking about this with somebody, the thing that is so fascinating about watching that series with Mike and Leah talking to survivors of Scientology who've lost their families, any kind of ounce of money, their entire communities, for some people, their lives, loved ones' lives, you watch him interact with people. And there are moments, there was like one conversation in particular, I forget which exact person they were talking to, interviewing, whatever, but he starts breaking down because he was so filled with shame and guilt of what he did when he was in Scientology and talking to somebody who was directly impacted by his behavior because he was a part of the machine before he understood that it was toxic and needed to be dismantled. So I'm just thinking about poor Mike Rinder and his family, what they've gone through. They've had people move in to be neighbors in their neighborhood, then they moved neighborhoods, and guess who moved to their new neighborhood?
Yeah.
People who were stalking them, going through their trash, trying to make their lives harmful. So I look at Becky Minkoff and I'm like, you're a fucking, what you represent, what you allow yourself to be a part of and try to pretend is normal and okay, or like you just haven't Googled recently, is genuinely dangerous and harmful, and you can truly go fuck yourself because you also have no discernible talent. You're not giving, like, I'm not saying it would be okay if she was, but she's such a waste of space and energy that even people in her show that fucking suck can identify it. So, like, what is this show bringing me? And then Andy's doing interviews. I forget who it was, Hollywood Reporter of Variety. And I love Andy, obviously. The show is quite literally named after him. But he's doing interviews where he's, again, saying, like, we don't need to get into Scientology. People don't really care about it. And it's like, well, babe, then you're really underestimating the quality of your audience.
That's what's hard, is it's like, say what you want. Like, I don't really want to get into, like, it's...
We don't need to get into it.
But it's like...
LOL, me just screaming about them not getting into it.
I guess my point is, like, that conversation can happen forever of, like, is it, like, whatever. And, like, they have their counter arguments and stuff. But, like... I think what's undeniable is that it's such a hot button issue that to bring it into the show and then kind of say it's not a hot button issue is crazy. That's what's a little crazy making. And like it kind of speaks to a larger issue I think that that cast is just having right now, which is like the heat's not on high enough. Like nothing's coming to a boil. Do you know what I mean?
But they're like, pretending that it does.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like when you try to, it's like when you try to like make pasta, but you didn't let the water boil first. Oh, and then you're like, fuck, this is like not actually working. It's like that. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, you kind of like the burners have to be on 10. That's what makes like, you know, start them at 6 by in the premiere. And then like by episode 4, like I kind of need the burners on 10. And like they just haven't yet. And that I think is challenging.
I think it's also hard because I don't think the cast knows quite what they're doing. And obviously there's a production role in this. Like I don't, I'm not just saying the cast sucks. I'm saying this whole universe sucks. But I just want it to be over, but I have no trust that they're going to rebuild. Last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America. Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers, but it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns hopes to grow your money into more of your money. Especially helpful for me because living in New York City, I swear you walk outside and somehow you've spent $100 before walking a single solitary block. In New York City, of course, we always say everything is at your fingertips. But with all of these delivery services, especially if I'm recording in the middle of a Peacock binge, shout out the Traders, those delivery fees really, truly add up. Acorns can help you fight back. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. I spend a lot of time on the pod talking about emotional intelligence. Financial intelligence is equally important. Head to acorns.com/andyscrolls or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andyscrolls. I have a couple of resolutions for 2025. Catching up on New York and Potomac. Continuing to love Dorit. And sure, we've all heard New Year, New You a bajillion times. But why stick to just one version of yourself? Pair Eyewear has tons of shapes and styles to match any new vibe or hyperfixation, so you can keep trying new things and switching up your look anytime you want. Perfect for the clofus. Base frames start at just $60, including your prescription. Plus, you get 15% off by using code AndysGirls at PairEyewear.com. I went with Otis and Crystal Clear, which is one of my faves. I am a glasses girly. I wear glasses 24/7, and I love something that will work with the variety of colors and styles of dresses and jackets that I have in the clofus. And with Crystal Clear as my base, there are so many fabulous top frames to pair. I'm a big fan of sparkle and sequins, so of course the silver sparkle and the sparkle collection, something I'm immediately obsessed with. With Pair Eyewear, you get to choose so many different creative, unique styles for these top frames that you snap right on top of your base eyewear. Pair Eyewear is budget-friendly without compromising on style or quality. Show off new sides of yourself this year. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that Andy's Girls sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com, using code AndysGirls. Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, this season of Real Housewives of New York, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. For me, it's those couple days before my period when I just don't feel like myself. And there's also perimenopause and menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hashtag spiritually mid-20s plus. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. Meanwhile, we look at Salt Lake City, where I think, honestly, I mean, nobody's afraid of looking bad. They might disagree that they're behaving badly, but they are willing to like say shit.
Well, I think the thing is there, it's a real friend group.
It is a real friend group.
And I think that is what you can't synthesize. And that's like what's undeniable. Like it really, like if we want to get into the episode a little bit, when they were at the dinner, I mean the lunch after the van situation.
Oh.
I mean, this episode was really amazing. But like when Heather said, like, I treat this friend group like my family because I lost my family because I left Mormonism. It's like, oh yeah, that is why this show is the way it is. Because like sometimes they act fucking crazy, but it's not necessarily for like the drama of the show. It's because like they have like very layered relationships that like are infused with trauma and are infused with all these different dynamics. And so like, I was like, it's been so crazy how I have like my whose side I'm on for different arguments has changed. Like I kind of like, especially watching like 10 episodes in 36 hours, my head was kind of spinning where I was like, oh wow, like three episodes I was like really not agreeing with this person, and now I'm kind of like, oh, I see their side. And like I thought like in the beginning of the earlier in the season when Heather was just like, Bronwyn couldn't do anything right, like fuck Bronwyn, I hate Bronwyn, I was like, Heather, like come on, like I think Bronwyn's actually pretty. Like, and then when Heather kind of like came in and was like, look, like there's someone coming into my nest and like this is huge for me, and like I'm sorry I'm acting this way, it's not fair, I was like, wow, this is actually good and interesting, you know what I mean? And like there's like all these juicy dynamics there, but it, and it makes sense because like it's, their relationships are really real, you know, like the stuff between Bronwyn and Lisa, like it's interesting to see like, oh, Bronwyn and Lisa have been friends for what is it, like 10-15 years, and now she comes on the show and now it's changing the dynamics of that. That makes sense. I believe that would happen. I would believe that when a friendship is moved in front of a camera, the dynamics of that would change, and it's interesting for me to watch, you know what I mean? But it's not, it's not two people being said, hey, you're going to be friends now because you're on this reality show together, and now they're like fighting. It's like, no, this is real because there's a lot of history there.
And what did Bronwyn think she was promised by Lisa? What did she think in joining the show that she was promised? Because I feel like she keeps trying to push through.
Wait, are you team Lisa or team Bronwyn in this conflict?
This is going to sound like such a puss answer, and I'm so sorry. I am team great TV. So I am, I know it sucks. I know it's like shit. No, it does. I can go fuck myself. I understand.
I hear what you're saying though.
But it's like, so I get what Bronwyn is saying, but I also think Bronwyn is more manipulative than people give her credit for. And I saw that more in this episode. And I don't even know if she's aware of it, but the way that she was summarizing that meeting that she never needed to bring up, maybe if she was second season.
I agree.
It could have waited to the reunion, but the way she was phrasing it was like not on the up and up.
I've been team Bronwyn pretty hardcore, and I'm not team Bronwyn anymore, but in the recent couple episodes, she's doing this thing under the guise of sort of like radical transparency of like, I just want to come and let you know this conversation happened. And it's like someone, I don't remember who said it, but someone said earlier at one of the meals, like, everyone talks about everyone. Like, that is the truth of the situation. Like, I have a very close friend group of gay guys. I know sometimes two of those gay guys, like, I know sometimes, like, my friend, like, Matt and Bill, like, need to have a conversation where they kvetch about, like, me and all my idiosyncrasies and, like, how I can be frustrating. That's fine. I also never fucking need to hear that conversation. You know what I mean? And like,
oh my God, never need to hear.
And like, that's part of them processing being friends with me. And guess what? I'm going to kvetch about one of them to the other one a million times too. And like, that is how friend groups work. It's not salacious. I'm not trying to bring it down, but it's like, God, isn't it so fucking annoying when like, you know, like he doesn't text me back when I text, when you're trying to make a plan with him or something like that. It's like, you just have to commiserate about like a quirk someone has, you know what I mean? And Bronwyn's now kind of doing a thing where it's like anytime anyone has a conversation, it has to be brought to the person who it was had about. And it's like, I don't think that is, I think you've like overcorrected, but I also think she's kind of in a paranoid state of like her first few episodes of the show. I think what she was promised by Lisa was kind of like, hey, if you come on this show, I'm going to have a first line of defense is you. And then the first time everyone came for Bronwyn, Lisa kind of was nowhere to be found. And so I think she was kind of like, hey, I joined this cast thinking you were on my side, and now I'm fighting off wolves and you're having tea in the house, is kind of what I think she's feeling. And now I think she just, and I also think it's like, we haven't seen her on the show having watched herself back yet, which I always think is a huge thing. And I could see her maybe next season realizing like, oh, I don't need to bring everything to the person. Because like when she brought that conversation to Lisa, this most recent episode, was that this episode or the episode before?
It was this episode. They did a flashback
that was
the night before.
Completely unnecessary.
That's what I'm saying.
That didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
It really didn't need to happen because things were getting kind of settled. Like, am I glad it did because it created a bunch of stuff? Like, I guess. Like, but when she did that, I was like, Bron, no. Like, it's not, that wasn't necessary, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Angie and Whitney were, but I also think that's where she's maybe coming from is like, she's realizing, oh, and I think Whitney kind of called her out for this. It's like, when you have a conversation with people in this friend group, there's like an 80% chance one of those people is going to go to the person the conversation was had about, right? And so she's probably thinking, oh, strategically, I should be the one to do it first before Angie or Whitney do, so that I get the clout, I get the credit, or I get to put the, I'm not caught. You know what I mean? I think that is maybe what's happening. But I think it backfired a little bit. But I think in terms of who's in the hot seat in the cast right now, Bronwyn's like third or fourth. Like, she's not top two.
So I heard, this is so unhelpful, but I didn't watch the Watch What Happens with Whitney because I'm extremely behind on Watch What Happens. But I guess apparently it was discussed on the show that like Bronwyn is the hot seat the most at the reunion, and the cast goes out for dinner after.
And she didn't go.
She didn't go. And then allegedly Mary didn't go, which is not as big a
Mary
deal.
Just because Mary's tired.
Well, Mary's Mary. So it's like, you know, she gets that out. But Bronwyn not going is big.
I'm like, are you saying Brittany went and Bronwyn didn't go?
I don't think Brittany counts. I think Brittany doesn't count as the cast.
I mean, she was at the reunion in what looks like a Dancing with the Stars costume. Did you see it?
I get so confused by Brittany's hair, and I wish that she could repair whatever could have existed with Angie K so that Angie K could help
her. Two things. I mean, I'm sure you already talked about it because this episode was a while ago. High body count hair, unbelievable line. Mm. And then Lisa comforting her and go, but you do need some keratis thermatique. Unbelievable line. Unbelievable line. And let me just say, this season of Salt Lake City has one of, I think, the top 10 to top 5 greatest reality show moments I've ever seen in my life, which is
go on.
Mary Cosby looking through the windows during the bar mitzvah.
That is literally what I said.
I was like, this is golden age of reality TV. Like, I was like slapping the couch. Like, me and my roommate were like screaming. Like, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Her looking through as they like, and she's like literally through the window. Like, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I laughed so hard. I don't remember, but I think I pressed pause because I was laughing so hard that I just needed to take a second. Because sometimes, you know, we understand we're so many years into this. Really have to take a moment and celebrate when you have one of those things. It's just incredible.
Because my roommate had already seen that clip, so knew about it. He hadn't seen the full episode, but he had seen that clip. I had not. So I thought we were just doing the kind of like, oh, this is the bar mitzvah. It's like such a meaningful moment for Meredith. Mm. I got up to pee and he was like, sit down. And I was like, what? And he was like, you have to watch this. And I thought at first he thought I was being like disrespectful to the Jewish faith by like standing up during the bar mitzvah. And I was like, okay. And he was like, no, you have to watch this. And I like sat down and then I was like, oh, okay. Like, I literally almost missed like the greatest moment of television.
How incredible would it be? I'm saying this as a Jew and a Bravoholic. If somebody was like, you can't stand up because you're being disrespectful to someone's bat mitzvah. Meanwhile, the cast is like tit city and they're drinking cocktails while she's so like doing a hop Torah.
It's unbelievable.
It's iconic television. This season has given us so much, but the Bronwyn of it all. Yes. Circling back to what you said before, like, whose side are you on? I completely understand Bronwyn's perspective, but I also think Bronwyn is doing stuff on this show that is going to isolate her from the cast. And you have to, at some point, make a decision to really extend trust and be someone that other people, including people you might not want to fuck with, can still trust you. And what she is doing is ensuring that every bad thing that Heather has said about her initially, people now later on might agree with. She's like indirectly proving Heather right, even if Heather was wrong to say those things.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah, it's tricky. It's really tricky because these friend groups operate from a place that me and my friend groups don't operate from, which is they operate from a place of blind loyalty, which is like you put your loyalty over your morality, which is not how my friend groups operate, right? So like if like my friend did something fucked up, I would call them out and be like, hey, like that wasn't cool, or I disagree with you. In these friend groups, it's like, no, I'm an Angie supporter, so I support Angie. It's not about who I think is right, it's whose team I'm on. And I wonder if Bronwyn's, that's just not how, like, you know what I mean? Because like I think that's why I connect with Bronwyn so much, is she's like, hey, like, I think it's fucked up that you said this, so I'm gonna tell, like, I don't know that I would go to the other person, but it's like, I think you do have to, on these shows sometimes, be like, okay, like, I think what Whitney said about Lisa is fucked up, but like I need Whitney's backing, so I'm not gonna report that back. And I'm going to hope. It's almost like, it's almost kind of like Survivor. Do you watch Survivor?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't, I've seen so many seasons of it, but
like,
not recently.
It's almost
but,
like
yeah.
Survivor, where you kind of like have to make alliances and hope that someone doesn't blindside you. And then someone goes and tells someone, and then that's a blindside, right? And like, sure, you don't get voted off the show, but now you're on the outs because you got exposed for saying something shitty. But it's like, I think Bronwyn's not making alliances. She's playing moral with everyone. And it's like, you have to make some alliances.
But I don't think she's playing moral in the moment in which she's being, I think could be completely wrong, intentionally deceptive in how she's characterizing that conversation, because the way that I received it, quote unquote, is she's saying bad things about Lisa, which I can completely understand. And then people are answering the conversation that she is leading. And then she goes to Lisa and she's like, listen, there was something I was like involved in, but like, who was really in control? And she's making it seem like it's, you know, 25%, 25%, 25%, 25% equals 100, no. where she's more 60 yeah. and everybody else has 10. I forget yeah. how many people were there. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, because I think what she's saying, but she too, I guess to counter that point, she does say in the van, I went to her, like her and it's like, the other thing is like, I think a really important detail to this is I think Lisa Barlow, and I've interviewed her, so kind.
She's
so
in my top five. I love her.
So sweet.
I love her. She's often wrong. She's often
really
wrong.
She's a bad listener. She doesn't hear. And then she does. I think the person who's looked the best this whole season is Whitney. I think Whitney has come across,
I'm giving eyes.
Because like when she's like, you don't let me fucking talk. It's like, she doesn't. When Lisa gets upset, like she goes off and is interrupting and yelling. And it's like, Lisa, like you, I think you are misunderstanding what was said. And Bronwyn did say in the van before the Britney explosion happened, she was like, I went to her because I was not proud of what I said. And I wanted to come clean before that was brought to her by someone else. And I think Lisa is so housewife brained that because Bronwyn is who came to her, she immediately is assuming the fault is on whoever is not here because Bronwyn is ratting them out. And I think Bronwyn was trying to say, I had a conversation with Angie and Whitney, and she worded it, and some not so nice things were said. What she should have said was, and I said some things about you I'm not proud of, because I do think that might have been her intention.
But she shouldn't have said it.
No, I agree. I agree. I agree. I agree. I also do agree. I also think the way that Meredith and Lisa's response was bizarre on the boat when Bronwyn was like, Todd cheated on me. And they were like, do you think that's because you're cold? And then Lisa was like, that's such a good point. I was like, that's crazy. That is crazy that she said that. Especially when you factor in, and I think this is important, when you factor in the fact that Lisa is kind of like, oh, well, I really like your Gwen's father's family. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of examples of this. Like, I do think that there is a very clear case that like, it is a double standard where Lisa has never once frayed any other relationship for the sake of Bronwyn, and Bronwyn is expected to cut someone out of her life for Lisa. I think that is a really clear double standard that is apparent when you watch the show. And I think it's undeniable, especially when the stakes for which Bronwyn could be like, I don't think you should talk to those people are, they abandoned my child. And you know what I mean? And like mm-hmm. ostracized me at like my lowest moment. And you know what I mean? And Lisa's is like, oh, like, you didn't have my back when they were saying that my, like, whatever. You know, it's not, the stakes are different and it's not fair.
It's completely not fair. What I'm about to say is so deeply not fair. But like, at the end of the day, if Bronwyn knows who Lisa is,
yeah.
why is she trying to make her into something she is not? She's never going to be the kind of friend to Bronwyn.
Well, I have to wonder if it's like the kind of thing where their friendship has never been put in this kind of crucible.
Totally.
Where it's like, this is
the crucible.
Yeah,
the name of this episode.
Is the crucible.
It's literally the crucible.
It's the crucible. But it's like... do you know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
It's like, I think maybe they've had a friendship that's been never had to be like, you've really had my fucking back. You know what I mean? It's like, there's so much. Like, until they started filming, Lisa didn't know the story of Gwen's parentage. So that's clear they weren't that close of friends. Like, they were close friends, but not close enough for her to know that. You know what I mean? So it's like, there are... I think maybe Bronwyn is learning, oh, like, I thought it was one thing and it's another, you know? In terms of their closeness or like how that friendship's going to operate, you know?
Totally. And there's something about the money here too that's really interesting. Like, I don't know. God, Bronwyn obviously has access to such insane resources that I think she thought, and like according to society, maybe rightly so, God forbid, where the 1% is like treated as a marginalized community. I think she thought genuinely that she would maybe have more play because of that. But maybe that's also wrong. Maybe she just so happens to have like bags and bags of cash.
Yeah.
And that had nothing to do with her thinking that she was going to walk in and maybe get a little bit more respect. Maybe that has nothing to do with it.
I never had that read on it.
Because she's like shitting money in front of us, which I love. Thank you so much for that.
The assignment.
That is the assignment, to be incredibly ostentatious on Salt Lake City, maybe more than anyone else, including Beverly Hills at this point.
It's kind, that's kind of the job, is to like, you know what I mean? And that's the one thing I will not defend her on for a second, is all the dog shit in her fucking house. Absolutely not. That, when Heather Gay went to her house and there was dog shit everywhere, I was like, I would lose my mind.
Yeah, well, you have, she just has, she has so many, how many characters are in House of Cards? I mean, several.
But
she has like 17 dogs.
But look at me right now. If Todd can buy you a $10 million necklace, you can hire someone whose full-time job is to, one, train the fucking dogs, and then they don't shit inside. Or just pick up the dog shit. But there shouldn't be dog shit in your house. If you have a $10 million necklace on your neck, there should not be dog shit in your house. And I don't think I'm crazy for saying that.
I think she could have picked up the poop, but there's so many rooms in that house that a dog could have shat while Heather was in the living room. We don't know when that poop happened.
I need there to be, they showed multiple poops, first of all. And
there are multiple dogs.
I won't budge on this.
It's not great, but I also think that's kind of the lifestyle choice and the sacrifice that she made when she decided to have 17 dogs, which is, P.S., my dream.
I get it, but I just think there literally could be someone on staff who cleans the poop. There literally could be
someone. We don't really see any
staff in her house, which is fine, but like, The solution is not, oh, I live in a house that kind of has dog poop in some of the rooms. Like, that is not an acceptable solution to me.
Yeah.
And I don't think Bronwyn would disagree with me. I think she'd be like, yeah, it's a problem. We're working on it.
Maybe they are. It could have been a tummy issue.
I also just, yeah, I just, it's, it was really
crazy. It was a lot. It was a significant poop.
Yeah. I don't love the way Todd speaks to her.
I mean, understatement of the year.
His energy freaks me out.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's, I can't, I'm not going to like pretend I know this person. I can speak to like her, she kind of, the way she talks about his approval means everything to me. I mean, there's like a spouse slash parental figure thing happening there that is bizarre to me. It is not how I would want a partnership in my life to go, but like other people want partners in a different way. It is strange to me and I don't love it. And it doesn't seem great, you know?
Yeah, and I have applied a little bit of a Shane Simpson metric here where I'm like, Shane from Orange County, we hated him his first season with Emily, Emily Simpson's husband, and now he's a genuine national treasure. So with this guy, I kind of wonder how much of this is, obviously there are sort of strange dynamics at play, which Bronwyn herself has referenced.
Yes,
then pulled back on Watch What Happens. So I don't know how much we're going to get into it on the reunion. I'm a little nervous that they're just going to try to take it back entirely. And I don't know about Todd, like, what Todd understands.
It seems,
not to infantilize
him, but me, that he had literally no idea what show he was signing up for. Like when he's like, you were just screaming in a pool. It's like, so that is sort of the entire show and the premise of the show and what the show is like women screaming in a pool. And that's like what it's been since like season two. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yes. And I, and this is one of those things where I'm like, and I'm not blaming Bronwyn entirely, but also like, what was the conversation with your family about what this show was? Because I would think day one, you would maybe go home and sign up for Peacock. Like this man that's this successful, how, or unless this is just the level of privilege that he has in personal relationships where he's trying to break the show to his will. And that's not going to happen unless you genuinely want your wife to lose her job. If you don't want her to participate in the way, just know that that's the scope of work. And if you didn't know that, then that's an issue. But also it's probably emblematic of your relationship because I don't see you guys really challenging each other, or at least Bronwyn challenging him.
Yeah, well, it's just clear that he has control in a way that is very strange to me.
And ironically, or maybe not ironically, but like this environment would be one where she has more control because it's not a show about Todd. It's a show about Bronwyn and
but
her relationship with her husband.
It is clear that he doesn't care about that. He's like, I will take control of the situation. And that is where I think it gets a little disturbing to see.
And the friction is, what happens if he continues not to care, or if he just genuinely can't give Bronwyn what she wants? What happens with Bronwyn? Like, do you choose then to, obviously, I think, stay in this dynamic? How much of this is like, we just don't understand Todd, which might be true. There could be many things true at once, including 100%. His absolute disinterest, maybe some level of shared paranoia about how they're going to be received. That seems to be, to circle back to what you said about Lisa and Meredith, Heather has done some wild roundabouts on the after show, but what Heather has said, I mean, she's been incredibly hypocritical or just changed her mind quite a bit.
Heather has
about the Bronwyn conversation about like emotional in parentheses, like asterisk, emotional infidelity, because we didn't know that at that point, but about Todd's infidelity with some woman,
yeah,
that Bronwyn talks about on the boat. What happens if, like, what happens in Bronwyn's relationship with Todd if she's being honest with cast members and then trying to negate that honesty and try to pretend to us that everything's okay? Like, she's then just repeating these patterns, but on such a larger scale.
It's not sustainable.
But, like, if Bronwyn, it's one of those things that's like, it's such a strange question for me to try to even form. But, like, Bronwyn, I think right now is trying to tell us that everything is okay. But the whole point that she's saying on the boat and throughout the season is like, it's not okay. And I feel trapped inside myself because nobody understands me.
Yeah.
So now you have an audience of people who are trying to understand her and also cast members, but maybe their focus at that point, maybe I'm just like devil's advocate. I don't even think I believe this, but like maybe their point at that moment is thinking 10 steps ahead, is thinking like, what happens when Todd sees this? What does that do to Todd? Which is unfair to Bronwyn in that moment when she just needs her friends to support her.
I see what
but
you're
everybody's
saying.
Playing like different
rules. Well, Lisa
rules,
said it when
the
they got
game.
Off the boat. Lisa literally says Todd's going to flip out when he sees this. She says that.
So one could argue, I don't even know if
that
I'm arguing,
she's preemptively doing,
she's protecting Bronwyn in that way. But also you could at the same point, under the same breath, say, but your focus is protecting Todd in the future. What about your friend in
yeah.
the present who's hysterical, crying
yeah,
to you on this
yacht?
It's an interesting
sort of like 3D chess argument to make. Like, and there's no way of knowing the answer to it. But it is like, I mean, I think what's interesting is I think so much of Bronwyn, especially the way that Brittany, we have to talk about Brittany. We haven't even talked about Brittany yet. And like,
It's unbelievable.
Because there's so much to say.
Yeah.
But the way that Brittany like was like, hi, my name's Brittany. I think that you're a gold digger. Like literally like the first, oh, I'm so sorry. I keep
okay.
adding this thing.
It's okay.
Like the way that she, I think part of what's interesting, and I think what Brahma was almost trying to speak to on the boat is the first thing that they have to do with that relationship is defend that Bronwyn is interested in Todd. He's older. You know what I mean? Like,
she has to defend that she wants to fuck her husband.
And that she's not a gold digger. And then what she's almost saying is like, what almost becomes apparent is like, that's not the issue. Like, she loves him so much. And maybe even like has like partnership love and other kinds of love towards him. Like, it's like clear that this person is like a huge part of her life and maybe more than like the average husband is to a person. And that is maybe the issue is like, does he love her back? Or is it, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. because like he, you know, had cheated and like, what are like emotionally cheated? Or like, she makes that whole argument like he constantly wants more. It's like, and she says like her biggest thing is that she doesn't feel like she's enough for anyone. So it's like, the issue is actually the polar opposite of the thing that she's constantly having to defend. So everyone's assuming like, there's no way you love your husband. And she's like, no, I love him more than anything. The fear is that he doesn't love me back. Right. Like, so that's an interesting thing that she's kind of constantly.
Or that he can't love me in the ways that I need.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think it's about not loving her back. I think it's what she is looking for now, or what she realizes that she needs, or what she realizes she's not getting is a certain kind of support that he's not giving her, which is separate from love. Although you could say, if you love somebody enough, like, take a note.
We're
you know?
Also talking about someone who, like, I think about, like, as someone who's also the child of, like, a single mother who, like, whose, like, father, like, left her. Like, you're talking to someone who's been in survival mode for a really long time. Do you know what I mean? Like, was completely abandoned. She was like 19 when Gwen was born.
Super young.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, so there's let there the questions of like, what do I want for my life? What do I want in the bigger picture? Like, what, like, you don't have the capacity or space to answer those for so long because you're in survival mode of like, I need to build a stable life for me and my child. And like, maybe in certain ways she's had that for a while now because of like the financial stability she's found through Todd and like her marriage and like Todd being such an amazing father figure to Gwen, as like she said,
which we love.
But who knows how long, like, this might be, you know, this, like, her getting a job, becoming a housewife, like, these things, like, this might be the beginning of her being like, what do I want for myself outside of, like, meeting the bare minimums of survival in a very crazy level of wealth way, but still sort of meeting those minimums. You know what I mean?
100%. Great point. And also, how does she navigate, how does that, like, survival perspective and identity and background and history inform the decision she's making to, like, quote unquote, survive on this show, survive within the cast? Right. Also, one could argue maybe survive in her friendship with Lisa.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's what makes this show, this cast and this show so compelling, is that you have a cast of a bunch of people who come from really dynamic, traumatic backgrounds.
Yeah.
And that's all clashing up against each other. You know, and it overlaps in certain ways. Like, there's some shared Mormonism. There's some shared religious trauma. They all live in this city that's like very small and has a lot of interdynamics. But then they're also quite different, you know, and it's interesting to see. That's what makes it, that's just what makes it so compelling, I think.
And then there are these moments where it's like, oh God, I cannot more strongly recommend that people watch the after show, because I just think people are making some strong perspectives. It's on Bravo's YouTube. There's just some like additional information, left turn opinions that are fascinating to me. The Brittany reveal, first off,
It's time we talk about Britney in this episode because this has been some of the craziest shit I've seen in my life. Have we been talking for 2 hours? Like, I have no concept.
We have been talking for 54 minutes.
Oh my God.
I just want to let you know, against your will, you're going to be a regular on this podcast.
Fabulous.
Because I am so connected to this
I know.
I can't even tell you.
Let me just.
Salt Lake City can never end. I'm going to need to force you to watch another franchise. I'm going to need to force you to do it.
It's just, the thing about Britney is, like, from the minute at Mary's house when she said, guys, what about me? I said, this woman's fucking nuts.
But she's a star.
And
on some planet, in some universe, I can see her glowing from afar.
It's
miles away from everyone else.
I mean, yes. And it's like, when she goes, when they did the montage of all the time, she said, like, I'm making an announcement. And then the announcement was, my daughter spoke to me for the first time in 6 months. Did we know that her daughter, I didn't know she had daughters or that they weren't speaking to her.
And when they were playing fake tennis, when they were playing pickleball.
Yeah. Okay. And
because someone needed to learn French.
Right,
you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right,
like, you couldn't just learn tennis. We needed to do it like a totally different language
100%.
And create it, and I love French, but you know what I'm saying?
And she made that announcement, and everyone was like, okay, like, I don't know what's going on with you, girl. And then, like,
and is that something that we need to, like, that's not, there's so much trauma associated with that.
Okay, here's my question to you. Why was she recording in that van?
Okay, like,
because, like, here's the thing. I literally think of all of the 104 scenarios that are pitched in the episode, I literally think they're like all equally possible.
I think they're possible.
Like, I think there's a world where she was just like looking at her phone and recording because she like didn't care about the fight in like a crazy way.
But then I was rewatching it and it's like she is angling the phone, which sort of doesn't make sense because it's facing the back of a chair. Whatever she was doing, she knew she wasn't supposed to do.
I think what she was trying to do, I think it's like, here's my theory. I think she was trying to take a video of herself, like, making a funny face while there was all these women screaming, and she was going to show it to her daughter as a funny video.
That's what Heather said on the after show. Heather Bronwyn, I now forget.
I think
Heather said that.
I think that's what she was trying to do, and she should have just said that.
She goes to lying,
which makes sense from a Mormon background of there's no gray area. It's like, if you did this and it's wrong, God will punish you. So like, if she was recording to record the women screaming and that's wrong, the lie cannot include that in her mind, where it's like, if she had just said, I was trying to record a funny video of me making a face while you were all screaming and I was going to show it to my daughter later, I wasn't thinking about the ramifications of like the actual words you were saying being recorded. It's also just so funny that they're all not acknowledging, like, how dare you record these private conversations? It's on a reality show. They're in front of a camera crew. They're mic'd. They're mic'd.
I know, but post-reality Von Teese,
I understand.
I think it's less about privacy. Even though they're all screaming about privacy, I think it's much more about trust. We do not trust you. We certainly can't trust because you're lying to us.
And
the reasons
also,
for doing
this. Because I guess
you shouldn't be recording us. Production should be. Bronwyn goes into the whole thing on the after show of like, it's about consent. Bronwyn's like, I consented for production to film me. I did not agree for this cast member to secretly do it, which I don't know how strong that argument is. But like, I think it's at the end of the day about trust. She broke trust.
Yes.
And is lying, which makes it so much worse.
Yes, 100%. The lying is, and that I think that's where she really buried herself, because I do think she was just being an idiot. I think just being an idiot and not thinking about how like stupid it was to record a selfie in that moment. Meredith Marks thinking that this woman set bugs in her room is like, obviously the thing is, that's so funny. The thing that is so funny is like, you can tell Heather is doing it as a bit. Like, there's no world where Heather Gay thought that she had bugged this room.
Agree.
But she was like, I'm going to do a bit with this Looney Tune. Meredith is on like another planet right now. And she's like, looking for the bugs was so funny. When she it was so, like, Heather was clearly egging her on. Also, it's so funny because, like, did you think, until Meredith said it, was anyone thinking bulimia?
I honestly, as someone who has an eating disorder, it did not occur to me. I was thinking in terms of someone having a panic attack.
I thought it was like she threw up because she was sick, or like she got, or like she was so upset. She, like, you know how some, like, you know, like sometimes like people cry hard enough, they like barf.
That
I thought it was like that. Like, I, until she was like, she insinuated when I was bulimic, I was like, actually, I really don't think anyone was thinking that.
I personally hadn't considered it, but I absolutely understood how completely inappropriate and irresponsible it is
to say
to use
vomiting.
Someone's vomiting as gossip. It's we've seen it on Beverly Hills.
Okay,
they've
okay.
handled anything about eating disorders in an aha moment and whatever terribly.
Okay,
so the second she said that, I was like, I can completely understand it, but I personally was coming to it from the place of panic attacks, and I have had. I can think of one panic attack that I had in college that was so bad that I was literally choking because I was like, it just came out of nowhere. It was the middle of the night. And I remember I called my mom in Rhode Island, our shared, which yeah. we haven't even just I called my mom and I was like hysterical and was like almost choking on my tongue. It was, yeah. I don't even remember what inspired it, but it was so, I still remember being in my dorm room and it being like so bad that I was like choke coughing because yeah. I was hysterical.
Which might have been what Meredith was doing.
I think because like, she did say I had a cough attack during it. So yeah, I was like,
while she was on the phone with her husband,
completely
upset.
Something, she's very upset about something and we don't know what it is. And she said it was about slut shaming or something she was like upset about, which doesn't make sense, but obviously she doesn't want us to know about it and she doesn't want attention drawn to it.
Right.
And Brittany was 1000% wrong to use it as a thing, but did she know because she was secretly like, why would she be tapping and with what, but why would she be tapping Meredith's room? Like,
when Mary was like,
how
why would she
know
tap
to do that?
Meredith's room, Meredith's boring.
I loved so it. Funny. Iconic. Literally iconic.
It was so funny.
I felt for Meredith in terms of like thinking that she was violated, but I think it was also paranoia. And some of that was, I do not want us talking about that. And also, I think some of it was like, we all need to understand that this woman sucks and like is the devil. So she's just pulling back anything that she yeah. can because she's so upset.
But
and
then
annoyed.
It pivots at the end, and now she's mad at Angie. At the end of the episode, now Angie's the bad guy to her because Angie said, right? The emotional affair thing.
Oh, I honestly forget.
Yeah, that's. Because then remember Heather, or no, she's not at Heather, because Heather's like, let's
yes.
do the bug test. And she's like, I don't give a fuck about that anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then we saw, because of her yelling.
Mary goes, of course she could hear.
Because the other problem is that like they're saying to other people, could I hear you? Could you hear me? Well, that means that something else is happening. And it's like, no, neither of the other people weren't screaming late at night. So if we're in a hotel room, like, and there's a shared door and I'm sleeping, you're probably not going to hear anything because I'm, you know, sleeping, dreaming of Chris Manzo, Pedro Pascal, whatever, versus if I am yelling about my love for Chris Manzo or Pedro Pascal, you're probably going to hear it.
Yeah.
We're not, but we're not thinking with that part of our brain. We're thinking with the like paranoia and also hatred of this woman. Totally. So anything is possible because also she was dishonest.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the level of the thing is like you can watch Brittany if like if she's going to last on this show. She literally will lie three contradicting lies back to back in 2 minutes. And you can't, you immediately lose. She was like, I was recording the scenery. I was recording a funny video for my daughter. It's like, those are two different things. Like, it has to be the same story. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need to lock it down. But you go into, she goes into this panic mode and she is just, it's lie, 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 lie. And it's like, well, now it's, you've clearly lied. And so now the assumption is the worst case scenario is the truth. Because why are you lying?
But she also doesn't have great instincts.
No, that's what I'm saying. So she's going to, she has to learn and develop, hone them. Or
we don't want that.
Sure. I'm saying, but I think, I don't think she can sustainably last on this show in this capacity where they all fucking hate her. Like, they hate her.
The thing that is so funny is I recorded this episode with John Hill right before this episode aired. Like, I don't remember when we recorded, a couple days before. And John was like, and everyone in the cast loves her. And I was like, but what about the trailer for the upcoming episode? Seems like they're all yelling at her. He's like, no, but like, they love her. And then I watch this episode. I'm like, they all fucking hate her.
Like, maybe they've come around since
and
they love her now.
Meredith on the after show was like, I'm okay with her.
Okay.
But she's like kooky. Like, Brittany doesn't get this so much.
The look that she wore to Meredith's bar mitzvah.
I don't even remember. Was it
the high body count hair?
Like, oh, yeah, looked, no, the hair. Mean, I remember the hair.
And it was like, I mean, everything about it looked like Deb prom. Like, prom, do you remember the store Deb from the mall that did prom dresses?
I remember 457. I remember.
No, this was like
another one I couldn't afford.
Wait, can I
could afford 457, but there
you
was.
Could, there you was could an, afford Deb for sure.
There was one that was like very fancy where everything was beaded. And I didn't even want to walk in there. I was like, I'm afraid I'm going to like fuck up a bead or something. It was
this
very
place.
Expensive. Both of us former Rhode Islanders from the Warwick Mall. Do you remember the place across from 457?
Deb.
What mall was that in Rhode Island?
Oh, it was in Vermont.
Oh, that's why.
But like
we didn't have Deb.
The dresses, like this was the dress at Deb.
Yikes.
And that is what Brittany was wearing.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. We're looking at a beaded prom. I actually might.
A lot of
that.
Tulle. Like a lot of tulle.
Bad tulle though. Not tulle used effectively. Tulle used.
Like she was wearing that.
Yeah. We're looking at kind of.
Like a tutu dress.
What's that? Child beauty thing, Little Pumpkin or whatever her name was, Little Boo Boo, Little Boo Hoo,
Strawberry Shortcake.
No, the child that then grew up and her mom is a mess, June, whatever. What's that show on TLC? Little Boo Hoo.
Oh my God,
Boo Boo,
but Honey Boo Boo,
Honey Boo Boo. It's like something that she would have worn when she was six.
Yeah, it's Toddlers and Tiaras vibes.
Yeah, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
Little Boo Hoo.
I was like, who are you talking about?
I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. You know what's the light of my life? The Clawfis, obviously, getting a chance to come into this colorful, unique space and breathe, especially after a wild holiday season. Know what else is the light of my life? The lighting fixture that my friend Tori and I picked out from Wayfair, which is such a conversation starter. It's modern, it's beautiful, the light bulbs, of course, are key. Amidst so much chaos in New York City and, of course, the up and downs of housewives, I wanted my apartment to feel calm, soothing, fun, and feminine. And thanks to Wayfair, all of my dreams, minus Chris Manzo, have come true. Wayfair is super easy to use, especially for me, someone who has an idea of what I want, but oftentimes can get a little stuck in the details. Delivery was free, hassle-free, and I love that each room in my apartment feels different. From the lighting fixtures in the clawfest versus the living room, to the way I use color in the clawfest versus the living room. Wayfair has it all. And P.S. Hanukkah Harry, thanks to Wayfair, brought me an espresso machine, because after this season of New York, a little extra caffeine is needed. Wayfair has everything your home needs this spring, and Wayfair has what you're looking for at any budget. There's something for every style in every home. Wayfair makes it easy to tackle your New Year's home goals with endless inspiration for every space. And it's free and easy delivery, even on the big stuff. Give your home the refresh it needs with Wayfair. Head to wayfair.com right now. That's WAYFAIR.com. Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Poor Brittany. And then to bring up, she's like, there's something. Just
the- that was when she made that announcement. I was watching it at the gym.
I love it.
And then
so
I was like, what is she about to reveal? And I was like, she's about to say some dumb shit. But when I thought it was going to be like, because also we don't know why her daughters don't talk to her. We don't know what happened with her second marriage. Like, I was like.
And there's some dark stuff there.
Clearly.
Like, very dark.
So then when, do you know? Like, off.
No, I don't. No, I've just heard that, like, it's. Well, she told us it's because she made choices where her focus was more on romantic partners coming from a place of trauma than her children. And that her children didn't feel like she was prioritizing them. But I don't know what was going on specifically in her romantic relationships. But I think it's pretty dark.
Got it. So, but like, I thought it was going to be something like that. And then she was like, me and Jared's relationship is physical. And it's like, yeah. And the sky's blue. Like, what are you?
She had and lingerie. The way, she
the
was
way
telling
that everyone
about
at
panties.
That table was like.
But the thing was, that was so wild to me that I was like, oh, shit, drawn it back. Because I laughed in the moment. But then the cast is like getting into this really intense.
That combo
connective,
was good.
Incredible conversation about the ways that like. Women are viewed, the slut shaming of it all, that she is a grown woman who is afraid, and according to the cast, and I completely get it, understandably so, of saying, I am fucking my, for all intents and purposes, fuck buddy, my buddy. We've now added fuck to the buddy.
Did you see two episodes ago, when Jared showed up at one of the events, the Chiron said,
oh, no.
Brittany's boyfriend, ? I rewound it and paused it and showed my, I was like, do you see that Chiron? It was like Brittany's boyfriend. I was like, bravo, you're rude for that.
He is terrible.
He's awful.
He is, but I don't even.
He's in Mary's DMs.
I know. Saying that she's like a real child of God, I guess, unlike
which is, that's
the lady
like,
he's fucking.
That's
I don't
like
know.
Hitting on, that's like Mormon hitting on, I think.
I don't think he was hitting on her. I think he is an absolute fame whore and was trying to develop relationships with anybody related
sure.
to the show.
Sure.
I do not think in any way, but I also think this man is so toxic. And also Brittany, God bless her, is so toxic that of course she would try to make this terrible situation work because she's not as far along in her journey as she wants us to believe she is.
It's the whole thing is really crazy.
Yeah, and she's making active choices that are, welcome to life, that are probably not going to benefit her. And I would say, God forbid, are probably not going to help her with her, like, relationships mm-hmm. with her kids.
Yeah.
I think the way that she is choosing Jared over herself is not a great indicator of how as a total outsider, would hope that she was like repairing some of this trauma. But that's also me expecting that she really wants to do that. And maybe she does. She just doesn't have capacity for it. But she's absolutely walking a line that is like not great.
No, she clearly has like a very unhealthy relationship. And that's like when Lisa was trying to talk to her about it. It's kind of like, yeah. Oh, but like you're coming. You can't even like the it's like Lisa, what you're trying to explain to her. Like she doesn't even view partnership in that way yet. So you can't even like the points aren't going to be able to register. You're like trying to plug a European plug into an American outlet. Like yeah. Not I'm not using that in terms of like the connotations of European American. I'm just saying like you're trying to plug something into something that doesn't fit yet. Like
square peg
not,
round hole
exactly
is every
it's
day
like,
of her
it's
life.
Like it's not you she needs to like get a new adapter to be able to like understand the information you're trying to give her, because like and that was clear like the Mormon shit. It's like, oh, like we forget like you still have this like Mormon lens you're looking at everything through. Mm-hmm. That's really and that's I think what like when Angie didn't understand like why is it a big deal that I brought wine, and it's like, oh, I don't understand this sort of like almost double life you live. Because I think like for someone like you or I don't know your relationship with religion, but like I don't like
Jewish, but like chill.
Right.
But JV, it's like, reform.
Yeah, like, but like it's like I think for a lot of people who aren't really religious, there's a lot of like internal justification and like double standards and like double lifing that happens with really intense religion, where it's like, I believe this thing is really important to me, but like I also do drink on the side and like date because like you know, and like these layers to it that like I think other people who don't struggle with like oppressive religion in that way or like self-oppression are like live kind of a little bit more authentically. So then when they do something like that like exposes it, it's like, oh, it's like, well, why would you ever do that? It's like, well, I don't live my life in this like way that you do, so I didn't understand that.
Yeah,
you know,
I sort of do think, because Angie does live in Salt Lake City, I get her saying that like because Brittany drinks, I thought it was okay. But I would just think as a total outsider that like if she's telling you it's like a church Sunday, whatever the fuck it was, apologies, I just genuinely don't remember the term used, but like it was like a prayer thing, it was like a family thing. And I know that historically in the Mormon religion and in the Church of Latter-day Saints and in that community, regardless of what she's individually choosing to do, yeah, that the environment does not encourage drinking, LOL, understatement of the year, I would not be bringing a bottle of Manischewitz. You know what I'm saying?
It
wasn't the right choice, but I also do not think she had any kind of like bad intent
at all. I think it was like airheaded of her a little bit to bring it, but I think it's also like, it was in the front door. Like she could have been like, oh shit, they don't know I drink here, and like thrown it in a closet. Like there's a way to handle
it.
That's kind of like, it's like you drink in front of Angie. So I think if you're going to live your life that way, take onus over the fact that you do that. And just like the second she drinks and be like, oh fuck, none of these people know I drink. Let's throw this in the closet. And then it can be a fun little joke between you and Angie. I don't know.
Yeah. And also for Angie, who's not a member of specifically of this church, to see Lisa, who's currently a Mormon and is like selling Vita, having margaritas and everything, I could understand not getting, because we see a different version of Mormonism through Lisa, which was a lot of the tension between Lisa and Heather. Because Heather was like, I was not allowed to make the kinds of choices that you're making. And also your version of Mormon didn't exist. Like Mormon 2.0 is different for me, and don't negate the trauma that I went through because I was 1.0.
Yeah.
You know, like that I think is a lot of it too.
100%.
I could talk to you about this forever.
I know, we have so much more to cover.
This has been
really fun. It went by like real quick.
Real quick. And also just like, I do think Brittany should and maybe will continue as a friend of, but never, ever promote her.
I don't think she needs a snowflake. No.
No. I don't want that for her.
Also the other friend of the season who has done less than nothing, Miele or whatever.
She was in an episode and a half as a background actor.
She said like three things, Max. It's so crazy.
Why did they continue to say that she was a friend? Why did they introduce her to us as a friend of, like, even in the press for this,
it's
if you
crazy.
Know that she's not going to be a part
she
of it
didn't
at
do
all?
Anything.
Actually, that reminds me, not to like total sidebar, but like the current iteration of Beverly Hills, I forget how to pronounce her name, so I apologize, but I do have one of her glasses that she did for Warby Parker. Amanda Duchadne was introduced to us as a friend of, a la Jennifer Tilly, in like the press lead up to this season. So maybe it'll still happen. But we saw her at one of Kyle's parties and then at a Dolly party and then never again. So I don't know what's happening.
I love Amanda Takataney, so I hope she comes back.
I would love to see her, but like, why did you tell us she was a friend of if she's going to be there for 3 seconds unless we see her more, which we absolutely have not yet. And we're like into the season right now.
Well, let's hope she comes back because I like her.
I like her too.
She used to have a great interview show that I watched.
On?
It was on like a YouTube channel. This is like over 10 years ago, but she's a good interviewer.
She has those pink glasses. They're great.
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah, she's great. Listen, so are you. This episode was such a joy. Tickets link in the show notes for this episode for your upcoming
Scourge Night on January 16th.
We love.
I'm going to Atlanta next weekend. My show's January 19th. Come see me if you're in Atlanta. New York at Joe's Pub, February 4th and 5th. And then New Orleans, February 14th and 15th.
And where can people follow you on social?
Instagram, Jake W. Cornell. TikTok, while it's still here, at Jake W. Cornell. I'm on Jake W. Cornell everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening there.
We'll see.
And also, just need a shout out. We didn't get into this at all, but we are both Rhode Island natives.
Yes.
And there have word on the street. Allegedly, there's a Real Housewives of Rhode Island filming.
And I'll be
allegedly,
here. And I'll be here if it's when it, the second it happens.
And the thing of it is, and Rhode Islanders know that the alleged news that they are filming in Cranston.
I've been told they are filming, and that the cast is women from Cranston, East Greenwich, and East Providence.
East Greenwich.
Yep.
Okay. To put Cranston.
It's going to be incredible. It's going to be
East
incredible.
East Greenwich. It's and Providence.
It's going to be incredible.
I don't even know.
They've been seen filming at Twin Oaks. They have been.
I hope they're not eating. I don't even know.
I mean, I was raised there, so I'm fine.
How would you, this is truly no disrespect. How would you describe Cranston to people not from Rhode Island?
How do I describe Cranston? I'm from Cranston.
Are you from
Cranston?
I'm from
Cranston.
Oh, no. And I'm from East Greenwich.
I'm
okay,
from
different
Cranston.
Worlds. Different
I'm literally
world.
From Cranston. Yeah, I lived on Gale Ave. My grandparents live in Edgewood. Like, I'm from Cranston. My whole family went to Cranston East. I went to Chester Barrows.
No, I don't even know what Chester Barrows is.
It's the elementary school on Park Ave.
Oh, that's why I don't know. I don't know elementary schools. Yeah. It's a big state.
How do you describe Cranston? It is like it's a suburb of Providence.
Incredible.
It is, I would say, blue collar and new money. Can you describe Cranston for me? It's hard for me to describe it from inside of it, if this makes sense.
I would never say it was like trashy and garbage. I would never say that. I would say it's like crazy. Crazy people.
Well, yeah, okay.
Crazy people. Like Real Housewives of New Jersey as it was season one, without the McMansions, but like Teresa as she was.
That's what I'm saying.
Like the family culture, the yelling,
right,
the Italian.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's super Italian. It's super.
I don't think about it in terms of like new money. I don't think money at all.
Okay. I guess I don't think money at all. I guess what I was saying more.
No disrespect.
But like, no, I agree with. Sorry, I didn't mean new money. I meant like. But no one's like, how do I explain? It's like I'm literally at a wall. New money was wrong. I think I was using.
It's optimistic.
Because I don't want to be pejorative. I think that's what I'm like trying to do. Is like I'm not trying to be pejorative because I love it there. Cranstoners are loud.
Obnoxious.
They're obnoxious.
Yeah.
They have the thickest accent out of any Rhode Island.
And it's incredible.
It's like the thickest accent out of all of mm-hmm. them. We have like a gorgeous shopping center. Garden City.
Yes. It actually is.
It's gorgeous.
You have that Whole Foods right there, which is a big deal to have a Whole Foods.
That used to be a Shaw's. That used to be my family Shaw's. And then they made it a Whole Foods. And now the Shaw's is up on the hill. I wonder
if that Newport Creamery is still there. That was a big part of my life.
Mama, it's still there. Okay. I went there a few months ago. Here's what I'll say. Do you know how in England...
Yes.
Every 3 miles down the road, there's like a completely new accent and culture.
Yes.
That is Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. Cranston is just like a big personality, very Italian, but there's also, I'm not Italian.
I'm Italian.
I'm
a pizza bagel.
Yeah. Okay.
So my Italian side of the family is from Warwick.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I don't know. And we moved from, but I grew up in like Providence, Jewish families, liberal doctors, lawyers. And then we moved from Providence to East Greenwich, I think because my brother was going to Moses Brown, a private school. And my parents were like, we're not doing this for two people. So we moved to East Greenwich, which has an excellent public school system.
Right. So I went. So and then Cranston is like. I mean, there's Cranston East and there's Cranston West there. And they hate each other. There's a huge rivalry.
We love.
This is my favorite story ever. My mom went. I'm strictly a Cranston East family. Down. And I had posted, this was years ago, I posted on something about my mom being from Cranston on Instagram. I found like her report card or something and I posted it on stories. Yeah. And my friend Alyssa texted me and was like, oh my God, is your mom from Cranston? My mom's from Cranston. And I went, oh my God, mom, Alyssa's mom is from Cranston too. Did you know her? And she goes, did she go to East or West? And I went, and I text her, I go, did she go East or West? And she goes, West. And I go, she went to West. And my mom goes, she probably drives a Miata.
What does that even mean?
A Mazda Miata?
Why is that?
Because it's like a slutty little car. She's calling her slut. She probably drives a Miata. Like that's
that
Cranston.
Is high body count hair. That's high body count hair.
Like that's Cranston to me. Like it's like, I can't really, you know what I mean? It's like,
I do feel like I've been preparing the entirety of my life for Real Housewives of Rhode Island.
This is why I never wanted it to happen.
I never thought it could happen.
Yeah, that's like why the video I said where I was like, no one's ready for this is because like this is why I'm so at a loss for words right now because it's like the dynamic of it can actually only be fully communicated in a 17-episode season of television. Like there's so much there. Like you like what it means to me for like a group of women to go have dinner at Spain. Like I can't even put that to words.
People scream at each other.
Like,
but
that's my childhood. Is like my aunt's rehearsal dinner at Spain. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my grandfather used to take me to dinner on Federal Hill at Angelo's, and then we would go to watch the Providence Bruins.
Yeah,
like it's Italian. It's like it's. Heavy accents. Everyone acts like everyone knows everyone, even if they don't, but everyone does kind of know everyone. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's sort of like, you know how like you're like, well, I go to school with that person, so their business is my business. That's how everyone in Rhode Island feels about everyone.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's like everyone knows everyone. Families have been there a long time. Rhode Island is not a place that many people leave.
Mm-hmm.
People stay. And so it's like people like, the number of people that I have run into in this city, New York, who somehow know my grandfather, like it's like, you know what I mean? Or like mm-hmm. their father knows my grandfather or like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like my boss at a restaurant I worked at, we realized that like, oh yeah, like her dad knows my grandfather from like a bar they used to drink at. Like that's very Rhode Island.
I had a crush on Jason Littlefield and I remember sixth grade graduation. He was just a guy that I had a crush on. And then I saw my dad go up to like his grandpa or something.
Absolutely.
And then I found out we were second cousins.
That sucks.
That was a tough moment, but I moved on.
Yeah.
Moved on.
So it's just, it's a lot of that. And the show is going to be.
Maybe not second, but some kind of cousin.
Once removed, twice removed, whatever it needs to be. It's just going to be a lot of like, we're going to get back. Like, here's the thing. Like, we're just going to get back to the version of Housewives of like a woman in an SUV in a cell phone in Garden City, parked on having a conversation in speakerphone, yelling at someone who's by like. Talking to someone else in Cranston next to a Say It With Me 123 above ground pool. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, that's where we're getting to.
They're going to be trampolines.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's like what I'm talking about.
The thing of it is, when I found out that there were actual rumors about Real Housewives of Rhode Island, I said, there's absolutely no way that is going to happen. And then I found out they were filming in Cranston. And like, the scream that came out of my body, because I was like, that's not escapist at all. But then I thought about it and I was like, it is escapist. I'm thinking about it in terms of because I've been so trapped in like wealth, Beverly Hills, but I'm like, this is the right kind of escapist. Bring us back to early Real Housewives of New Jersey, Rhode Islanders are like fucking weird,
but
we're wonderful. Okay. We're genuinely
so
nice. You've
said things in a way that is kind of like shining a light on why I said new money, where it's still a place where like, Cranston is still a place where like people can like buy a house and have somewhat of a stable life.
Yeah.
And get to a cushy, comfortable place and have a little extra spending cash.
Totally.
Whereas like you can still do that in Cranston. Like you now to like just be able to buy like a two-bedroom apartment in New York City and have a car and be able to live comfortably.
You
need to make like $2 million a year.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
It's like you can, and so what I mean by new money is like people who are, and I shouldn't have said new money. It's like there are people that they can cast in Cranston who have some cash to throw around and have like a nice enough looking life, but they're not, but they're like making like maybe a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, or, you know, like, do you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a dying class and sector of the world. And the fact, because everyone was like, wait, they're not filming in Newport. And I'm like, no, that show would be boring.
Yeah, Newport doesn't really exist.
It doesn't. You don't.
And Barrington would be very quiet. East Greenwich would be stupid.
Little Compton would be boring.
I'm actually surprised people are from East Greenwich. But actually, because like East Greenwich people are.
Well, they
like
need
the,
to
the
throw...
rich people in East Greenwich are annoying. So that does
that's
make
the
sense.
Thing. Well, that's
some of
the
them.
Real,
a lot of them.
When I heard that it's. I heard it's East Providence. I heard it's Cranston. I heard it's East Greenwich.
East Providence is nuts.
And that's. But I think that's fun because they're putting. You know, the dynamic is going to be like, oh, that bitch thinks she's too good for us. Do you know what I mean?
Cannot tell you. I don't even know what to say. It's unbelievable.
There's going
to
be a day where like the East Greenwich bitch takes the Cranston girls out sailing and they're going to be like, what the fuck is this? Like, do you see what I'm saying?
It's had a boat. It's too close.
This is what I'm saying.
It's too close.
This is what I'm saying.
I'm just waiting for like the Rhode Island tour. People are going to come to Rhode Island to like...
The East Greenwich girl is going to throw a birthday party for her daughter where there's like Adele's truck that they pay to come.
Oh my God, that would be a dream.
Oh, I mean,
God,
tie-ins? I would kill for Adele's right now.
I would murder someone for Adele's. And the problem is, I remember I came back to Rhode Island for my aunt's like funeral and...
I can literally taste it. Like
Iggy's, do you know Iggy's?
Yeah.
Okay, so we went to Iggy's for the like, I forget what it's called, but like the Catholic thing after. And... there was a Dell, like a little Dell thing there. And I was like, God. We have to get Dells. And then I absolutely guilt tripped like several family members were like, you need a fucking Dells.
Yeah.
Like, we're not leaving until you get a goddamn Dells. But the Dells wasn't real Dells. So there weren't little pieces of it's a frozen lemonade, but there weren't pieces of the lemon in the Dells. So then I was very upset because I was like, I'm from New York City. Like, when am I going to be here again? Like, give me the frozen chunks of lemon that returned me to my fucking youth.
Yeah. And let's slap a little gin in there if we're feeling freaky.
Oh, I would never ruin a Dells by adding alcohol.
I would need to have one virgin, but then if
I would never do it.
Okay.
No.
Respect.
I want it.
No, I hear you.
I cannot wait for this. I hope it's real. It might not be real, or they might be doing it for like
a test,
Southern Charm thing or so, not. Okay. But I do want it. I now do want it to be Housewives because it doesn't make sense. People are going to freak out.
Let me just tell you all the information I have that I've
heard. Please.
I have heard that what happened was they started to make like a Southern Charm in Rhode Island.
Yikes.
Like that was the intention.
Rhode
and
Island
then
Charm.
In the casting process. Found a Housewives cast and said, we're actually going to do a Housewives. Like,
how old are these people, by the way?
I don't know, but my cousin...
You need them to be 50.
This is most Rhode Island. This is most like Rhode Island.
I'd be
like, my cousin's friend said he saw them filming at Twin Oaks. Like, I'm telling you that right now.
Which means it happened.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, that's all I'm telling you. It's like, my cousin's friend saw... So they said they saw them filming at Twin Oaks.
I will say, I really can't get into this because I don't want to be set... I think that someone could light me on fire, but my dad unfortunately passed away in December.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you so much. And I went back to Rhode Island for the Shiva and something happened at the Shiva that was... And I missed a big chunk of it. So I was like downstairs greeting people. And then I went upstairs and my cousins were like, you just missed a world war that took place. And I thought to myself, I was like, how... I was so angry. I said, how did you not grab me to watch this? Are you not as a Housewives viewer and a bro? And then after the fact, I was like, oh, actually, it is like very terrible that people decided to like.
Were these people you knew?
Family members.
Oh, that's awful.
And it was like one part of the family.
Yeah, I mean, it's always
that is. It's too dark for Bravo.
Yeah.
But it's like it's Sopranos. It's like minus the actual mafia, which is sort of. Rhode Island. I mean, that's...
No, but plus the actual mafia. Yeah, plus a lot of the actual
mafia. My sunglasses guy, Peter, he was connected.
Plus...
Yeah. I paid him in cash. He was like, whatever.
Do you think they're taking cards at Twin Oaks? They're not.
That's the other thing. Is like, I'm thinking of like a mini Teresa going to Cardi's Furniture and just taking out all the cash. I'm like, you guys are going to get in trouble for this.
Alan Sean Feinstein's going to have a fundraiser on the show. I just realized.
If you know,
we have to stop because I'm going to be here for 2 more hours.
Like, literally, you'll be here forever. I'm not letting you leave.
I'm losing my mind.
But the thing, like the dramatic, I could see it on TV, even though when I realized at like hours later, I was like, oh, this is actually like a terrible thing that this happened here. It was so dramatic and so specific to like Rhode Island personalities, but also family dysfunction that I was, this could be on TV.
It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be unbelievable.
I just hope that they did it. God forbid. I want so much more for us as I'm such a proud Rhode Islander. Like, because we all
same,
are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
yeah.
And I own that. And I want you to name people's last names until we find one in common. That's what we do all day long. But I just I just want to put this out there because I hope it doesn't happen. But I would hope that it wouldn't be like a new New York cast. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want dumb people.
I don't think
people...
those kind of people exist in Rhode Island. Like, I just think what gives me hope is this rumor that it was like they decided to do a Housewives because
so
of
good.
The cast they found.
It's giving me, God, we should be so
and
lucky.
Hey,
but
Angie,
maybe it's
if you're
late.
Hearing us, if you're hearing this
yeah,
right
you're
now
never,
and you're
yeah.
like, oh, wait, this is going to be a good idea. Let me tell you right now, I can name six women off the top of my fucking head. I could cast this show before you could take a piss. Like,
and I also just want to say, I am in no way trying to disrespect Cranston. It's just a very, and it's like,
no.
And I love the like working class energy. That's 100% my family. That's
100%
my family
class.
In Warwick, like very working class. But my family is like, aside from that one segment, like very good people, you know, like.
So is my family. Super.
Right.
Yeah.
But then we also have another part of it, which we won't, you know, but it's that segment, like. Would be incredible on television. I just like the Cranston of it all is so, it's just, it's so not in any way, which is why it should be on TV because it's really not, it's not the kind of escapist, it's not diamonds and rose, it is coffee, milk, and anger.
I'm
and
so excited.
It could be incredible.
So
it could be incredible. And I can't wait for people to listen to the like driving my car, like it's
no,
just
it's
like none of us, they can't pronounce ours, like it's,
no,
it's
no.
Just who needs go to the bubbla, like it's just gonna be.
Do you know what it was like moving to Vermont from Rhode Island and like being in front of a school full of children saying I need to go to the bubbler and everyone being like what the fuck are you talking about?
The water fountain.
Yeah.
The water fountain.
Yeah.
And people trying to understand coffee milk, which I remember when I first moved here maybe for college or something, and I was like trying to explain, it's like it's a chocolate milk but it's coffee, it's really not that complicated.
It's not complicated,
it's not complicated, but people are like, I don't get it. It's like it's a delicious dessert beverage that you have when you go to breakfast or whatever else. Listen, what this episode sponsored by like Autocrat. Like this has been such a joy.
This has been a treat.
Such a dream. Need to have you back to talk
anytime.
Traders. Really, truly. Can't
oh
we?
Yeah, I'll come back for Traders anytime.
Okay, great. Because we need to discuss it, and obviously you have some thoughts, and I have some thoughts, and we need to share those thoughts with the world. So in the meantime, we talked about your shows coming.
Yes, please come see my shows.
And also follow you on Instagram.
Yeah.
Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. You can see that Bravo Creator fundraiser for the Los Angeles Fire Department Foundation there. Again, some resources and show notes. We are sending our love to everyone listening in the Los Angeles area. We are thinking of you. And again, just want to just put out a public apology to Cranston, but also
and shout out for me. I have nothing to apologize for. I love
but
you guys
like,
so
you
much.
But like, you know who you are. It's
absolutely
it's good. It's a good thing. But it's also just like, just prepare yourself, non-Rhode Islanders. And also, Boston, you can go fuck yourself. Like, we, you know, it should be here. I'm changing my mind. It should be here.
Absolutely.
We are nuts people, and this could be excellent TV. And
yeah,
I want
to. I can't wait for the girls' trip to Block Island. It's gonna happen.
No, it's gonna be Martha's Vineyard. I don't think that they could the production could afford Martha's Vineyard, but they're gonna do it off season. They're gonna make it happen.
Okay.
They're not going anywhere else. Maybe Miami. We should be so lucky. But
why not Block Island?
That's not a girl's trip. That's just a ferry ride. That's not.
I guess it's too small.
But they should do it. No, because I'm thinking the big trip would be Martha's Vineyard. But no, you should take a girl's weekend and somehow get kicked off of Block Island and call it a day.
Perfect.
I just hope that these women are good. I just hope that casting is good. I'm nervous about it.
I have all the faith in the world. I'm so excited. I'm choosing to like approach this with the open. I'm coming from a place of yes.
You are coming from a place
really
of left. Yes. I just said what? I don't even know. Shout out Bethany Frankel. This has been a total joy. Thank you so much
fun.
For coming
anytime.
To Pop Us. Truly. Thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
At
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.